We all like to think we've touched the lives of others in some way, but it's hard to go past Reverend Barbara Walker. Today, she is the Anglican Diocese of Dunedin's first rural chaplain, covering thousands of kilometres across Southland. And for 2 decades before that, she delivered babies, built hospitals, and comforted the injured and scared in civil war and war zones around the world. She has seen the ravages of war and people at their worst, but also at their best. And she wrote a book about her experiences called Purple Hands, A Kiwi Nurse Midwife's Response in Times of Crisis. She joins me now. Hi, Barb.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
I should say hello, Reverend. I'm sorry, that was very informal.
Oh, no, call
of me
Barb.
Love to hear a bit about your life. How did it all begin? How did you end up working in some of the world's most dangerous places?
I'm a very committed Christian, and God called me to the mission fields when I was about 13 years of age, and I struggle with dyslexia, so I knew it would be a really tough task, but I got through my nursing training and midwifery and training at Bible College, and then was turned down by a mission society. And then I heard an ad on 1ZB back in 1979 to join the World Vision First Medical Team up to the Thai-Cambodian border.
Gosh.
And that was the beginning of nearly 21 years of working in Thailand, the South China Sea, Somalia, Pakistan, Kenya, Zambia, and Tanzania, and Mozambique. So, I've met some amazing people, and I've met some absolutely terrible people.
And delivered babies in the most unimaginable conditions.
Yes, I've delivered babies in the back of Land Rovers, and I remember delivering triplets in a plastic hut in Somalia with my male interpreter outside and about 25 friends of the lady who were all screaming because they believed the more noise you make, the easier the baby came. But I managed to deliver the three triplets. They were born alive, but sadly we didn't have incubators, and they died after a week.
Gosh. Some of that stuff must be tremendously harrowing and, dare I say it, emotionally damaging for you to be involved with and to witness.
It was hard, and when you've got thousands of people and you've only got a few aid workers and limited supplies, I guess what kept me going was my faith and my trust in God, and I'm just very aware of the aid workers working around the world at the moment in very troubled spots. And yeah, I often think if I was 30 or 40 years younger, I would be out there doing what I've done before, because we do need to reach out and help each other and support each other and listen to each other and work together. If we don't, we're just going to see more unrest and wars and, yeah.
I ask this respectfully, Barbara, but some people listening will think, man, if you've seen those sorts of horrors, it must be hard to believe in a God that would allow that sort of thing to happen. Did you ever get moments like that or flashes of doubt?
I got flashes of doubt. I think the big one was I was standing on a bridge between Rwanda and Tanzania watching bodies float down the river, Kagera River, into Lake Victoria. And after the massacre in Rwanda with the Hutus and Tutsis, and I had a conversation with God, and I said to him, why does this happen? Why do, being a midwife, I've delivered hundreds of babies. Why do these beautiful baby boys, baby girls grow up and end up killing each other? And I felt God said to me that day, you're upset. How do you think I felt? How do you think I feel? And that day, a beautiful rainbow appeared from Rwanda over to Tanzania. And so every time I drive around Southland or I see a rainbow, I think back, that our world is hurting. We've lost direction. And people say, well, how can you believe in a God when there's all this, trauma and wars going on, but God gives us a choice. And God knows suffering as well. I mean, he watched his son die for us on the cross. And yeah, I hang on to that, because if I didn't, I don't know where I'd be today. Probably not alive, because God rescued me from some pretty terrifying situations I was in. And I was in Mozambique and got a death threat and had to be evacuated out. And yeah, so I've had lots of conversations with God over the years, and I keep trusting him.
Being at that the coal face of humanity, seeing humans at their worst and sometimes at their best, I imagine it really has an impact on your priorities, what matters to you in life, what you think's important. So actually, I guess if you one day happen to meet a celebrity in your travels, you might not be that excited about it. Is that what happened?
Well, I did. We had lots of celebrities coming to the various camps I worked with, and then I was in Ethiopia, and we had this guy sitting at our table having some lunch one day, and I said to him, introduced myself and my friend, and I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "I'm Bono." And we said, "Bono who?" And he looked, he said, "Oh, Bono from U2," and we said, "What's U2? So he was a bit deflated, so I just said to him, "Oh, pass me the ketchup." And
pass me the ketchup, Bono.
Yeah. Mm.
Meanwhile, how many babies do you think you've delivered?
Oh, I would think probably 700 or 800. Mm. I mean, you lose count, but each one is precious. Each one is loved by their families and, you know, the mothers and their fathers and,
Do people ever say thank you? I'm sure you don't do it for the thanks, but do you get moments where you are glad that you've made the effort and where you feel like your choice to be there has been, I guess, vindicated?
Yeah, I was really moved some years ago. I was in a taxi in Wellington going to a meeting, and the driver was from Cambodia, and I said to him, "Where in Cambodia do you come from?" And he said, "Oh, I come from Phnom Penh. Have you been to Cambodia?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "I went there after the war, but I also looked after thousands of Cambodian people pouring into Thailand." And he said, "Oh, where did you work?" And I said, "I was in a place called Khao Yai and also in Sakaya One." And he said, "Oh, Khao Yai, my sister was there."
Oh.
So we had a bit of a conversation. And then when I got to step out of the car, I paid him, and he reached his hand across to me and he said, "Thank you. Thank you for leaving your country and coming to help my people."
Gosh.
So I got out of the car and sort of had to, got a tissue out, shed a couple of tears and thought, wow, you know, you just don't know whose lives you touch. And then I was working at Hawke's Bay Hospital as a chaplain, and I met families there from Somalia, from Ethiopia, from Pakistan, you know, and I was able to talk a wee bit about my work there, and they were just so thrilled to know that someone here in New Zealand had actually been to their countries. And, that was really special.
What does life look like now, Barb?
Well, life now is I'm working as a rural chaplain in Southland, working closely with the Rural Support Trust, and at the moment we're training 14 rural chaplain volunteers, and going out and just supporting families, supporting farmers around Southland, and that also includes Stewart Island. I'm also working with the community on Stewart Island, trying to get some one-bedroom houses built for the people on the island who can no longer walk down the hills that are on Stewart Island, and so they can come and move into this place. So I'm involved in that. Yeah. I'm also trying to get a pedestrian crossing across State Highway 1, which is, I live in Rowena Jackson Retirement Village, over to the Nichols Garden Centre. So I'm working with the Honourable Simeon Brown and the New Zealand Transport Association. And I'm also on the Residents Retirement Association Committee. So I'm trying to encourage the government to look at reviewing the Retirement Act. So yeah, I'm quite busy, but yeah, I love it.
Hasn't anyone told you that when you move into Retirement Village, you need to slow down a bit?
Well, they do, but I don't listen.
Apparently not. Gosh, well, did you feel like you're doing some good as rural chaplain? I mean, I'm sure the work's very different to what you were doing overseas, but again, are you able to see the value of what you're doing and the gratitude that people have for it?
I think you know, it's tough being farmers at the moment. You know, there's a lot of criticism, and in Southland we've had terrible weather over the last few months. But people are, yeah, I mean, we're just there listening to, supporting them in all different ways, and people do appreciate it, and you know, we're working together and trying to support one another, and I just also, you know, want to encourage Dave, the guy you were just talking to, and the incredible work he's doing, because if we don't work together in New Zealand, you know, I would hate New Zealand to end up going like some of the places I've worked in around the world. We've got an opportunity to work together, listen to each other, and make a difference.
Lovely to meet you. Come on again sometime.
I will. Okay, thanks, Jesse. Take care.
Reverend Barbara Walker.